to shoot. David Beckham. Oh, goodness me.
Awful long time. And now they're stretched at the back. The US have numbers. Altidore squares it. Dempsey's missed it. Donovan Hazard. From hope, there is glory. It's London Donovan.
Se va escurriendo hasta que llegan los botines de JJJ con la derecha.
This is Sunday League's finest podcast with David and Obi.
Hey, what's up, everybody? Welcome to another episode of Sunday League's finest. I'm Obi Hernandez, and your co-host is
David Donis. Welcome, my friends, to Sunday League's finest, best soccer podcast on the planet.
Best soccer planets in the county, in each county that we live in.
In the barrio.
Hey, what's up? Thank you for joining us again, once again. Hope you guys enjoy this next little podcast that we have. David, anything shock you over the weekend or last week?
Yeah, Manchester City, man. Losing their home, their opening game in the Champions League, 2-1. What do you think about that, man?
Don't remind me. Luckily, I was able to watch the game. I'm a Pep Guardiola fan. Let's get that straight.
No, not a fan. You're his boyfriend.
I'm a big fanatic. I watched the game, and, you know, really good. Man City still looked great. Weren't able to finish. It's two mistakes. I mean, playing that style, obviously, if you make a mistake, boom, they're gone on the counterattack. You're pretty much outnumbered. Two mistakes gave the Leon the little chance, the Lion, to go up 2-0, came back 2-1. Referee missed a penalty call in the first half. Either way, group stage, five more games left. Man City takes the Champions League still.
I'll mention this to you, but I think they showed a stat that says a team has never won the Champions League when they lose their opening match. Well, you still think they can still win it?
A team had never won 100 points in the EPL, and they did it last year.
That's true.
Man City's all about breaking records.
Yeah, but either way, that was pretty shocking to lose at home. I mean,
yeah, it definitely was.
Yeah, I mean, I know Olympic Lyonnais has been a big club in the past, but there hasn't been much from them lately. Not from what I can tell.
No, anyways. Yeah, lately they've been mediocre. But I mean, good result for them. Anything else in Champions League stand out to you?
I mean, I think everything is pretty much what we expected. The only other game that was pretty interesting was Inter versus Tottenham. Thank God Inter ended up winning 2-1. But I don't know if you saw the highlights, but Tottenham was controlling the majority of the game. So they lost the game, not so much Inter winning it.
Well, that was another close one, but a back-and-forth affair with Liverpool-PSG as well. I mean, we expected Liverpool to win it, but PSG almost pulled out a tie, which they didn't deserve to because they were absolutely dominated. Neymar, nowhere to be found on the field. Mbappe, nowhere to be found as well. I mean, Liverpool, Klopp did well.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy for PSG because if you're the coach and you don't win the Champions League, you're pretty much out of a job.
Yeah, I mean, their domestic league isn't too strong.
No, I mean, what? That's the only thing you could win. What else could you win? They won the league, what, like 10 times in a row or something?
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah,
any MLS results surprise you?
Not surprising, just Atlanta United taking care of business. They were down 4-1 at one point against San Jose Wednesday. And a crazy VAR reverse call that gave us a PK and took away San Jose's goal. And then two other goals to tie the game. And then one late finisher by Joseph Martinez in the 92nd minute. Man, what a game. They played like crap, but that's what good teams do. They find a way to win even when the team isn't playing well.
Yeah, definitely. San Jose coach looked like a tactical genius because – you know, with them just firing the head coach and the assistant coach, this guy, he's Ralston, I think his name is.
Steve Ralston.
Yeah, Ralston was looking like 4-1 Atlanta. People were joking around. They were saying Ralston for a U.S. men's national team. And then one VAR car, and boom, his game is shattered. Now he's probably fired.
Dude, the Earthquakes fans were very pissed. It was the right call, though. I mean, it was just I don't really like how late it is, because you have, you know, you have a whole other goal happening on the other side of the field. But it was the right call in the end. It was a pretty clear handball, so you
definitely
can't...
definitely right call. Just like you said, the late reaction is what merits all the complaints.
Yeah, I like Steve Rawson, though. I think he'll turn that team around.
They're not going to leave him, though. He's going to give someone else.
Oh, you think so?
Yeah, they've already interviewed two other head coaches.
Oh, damn. Well, never mind. Well, so, Steve, was he the assistant coach then?
I have no idea where he came from, to be honest, because they fired the assistant coach and the head coach.
Well, I like him. He used to play for the U.S. national team.
So, way back in the heyday.
Yeah.
Galaxy getting shit done.
Yeah, 3-0. Man. We talked about this last week, that if Galaxy can't get some kind of points off of this game, they're done. So now, I mean, a 3-0, that's a big statement. And now I still don't think they're going to make the playoffs, but it makes me doubt myself when I said it last week, because now, you know, there's hope.
Well, I think the biggest takeaway from that game was not the W, it was a 0. We finally didn't allow any goals.
Yeah, although you guys give a wide open shot to Will Bruin, who just messed it up.
Hey, at the end of the day, what's on the scoreboard? 0. So either way, even if they should have given up 10 goals, in the back of their minds, they just got confidence like, hey, we're able to post shutouts.
Right, yeah. Yeah, well, that was a good game for the Galaxy. We'll see if they can keep that clean sheet going, because they're one of the teams that have let the most goals in the back of their net.
Definitely. One good thing, I guess you can say, because, I mean, I'm looking more at RSL and Portland losing type of deal, because Seattle still has a game less than Galaxy. RSL and Portland play each other twice in the remaining games.
Yeah. So
I'm hoping for a couple draws there, or maybe just Portland outright beating RSL both times. So, I mean, it's going to be a good little closure of the season.
Yeah, it's getting exciting now that there's we have five more games left in this regular season.
Yeah, some teams have 6, but most have 5.
Yeah, and I don't know if they've added any FC Dallas or anybody else, but so far only the Red Bulls and Atlanta United have clinched playoff spots, and the byes as well. And they got a big game coming up next Sunday. And that's going to be a big game to see who really is going to take the supporter shield. I think if Atlanta wins that game, I think it's pretty much a done deal, because they'll be 7 points ahead.
That's if they don't lose the rest of the games, though. So.
Yeah, but, I mean, 7 points is a pretty far reach when you have 4 games after that. But, I mean, obviously anything's possible. But I think for New York, they really have to win that game to really stay close to Atlanta. It's been pretty close for the past couple of weeks, because both Atlanta and the Red Bulls have been winning every game, or most every game. And those two teams really seem to be the ones that are sticking out. Because right now, remember, FC Dallas was at the top for a while, and then everybody pretty much came in close. And now, from first place all the way to, what, 4th place in the West or 5th place, there's only like 5 or 6 points maybe separating them.
Yeah, it's pretty close.
So, yeah, it's pretty congested. But yeah, it's exciting, man. I'm ready to get the playoffs started. I know you're just hoping that the LA Galaxy creaks in, but I'm just ready to get playoffs started.
Yeah, I mean, I'm ready for that as well, but I'm hoping Galaxy's able to creep in. I don't want another year without playoffs. But definitely, dude, I mean, I think it would actually be really good for the MLS if Galaxy does creep in, because imagine the LAFC Galaxy rival in the playoffs.
That would be pretty dope. I mean, to have an LA derby game, and then also maybe possibly a New York derby game in the playoffs. What else can you ask for, man? That's ratings gold.
Exactly. I know a couple LAFC fans actually want Galaxy in the playoffs, because they claim they want to beat them in a meaningful game. Although LAFC is the better team right now, you know, playing wise, I think Galaxy has their number, psychologically.
It doesn't matter in a rivalry game, except, you know, Atlanta United and Orlando, because obviously that shit doesn't matter. Orlando's going to get destroyed. but, yeah, I think if LA FC fans really are clamoring for that, just be careful what you wish for.
Yeah, definitely. Well, David, I know there's no Champions League this week, but there is the U.S. Open Cup final, Houston Dynamo, Philadelphia Union on Wednesday night. What do you think?
Man, I forgot that shit was happening. I really dislike how they don't promote this cup, because it could be something cool if they put work into it, but they don't televise any of the games until it gets to the final. And I haven't seen any commercials about it. I don't know about you, but I've yet to see a commercial about the final. And I forgot how much the winner gets. Obviously, the most important thing out of this thing is that you get a Champions League spot. Mm-hmm. But they just need to make it bigger. And a lot of these teams, Atlanta United did it too, where they don't play their full team until, I mean, way later. Even in the first round when Atlanta was playing another MLS team, they still didn't play their full A squad, which I know a lot of teams even around the world use it to showcase other players. But when you talk about, you know, Manchester United showcasing their bench is, you know, better than most MLS teams. So I think the MLS clubs need to take it more serious, and maybe they will if there's more exposure to it. Because right now, I mean, I guarantee you the ratings for that game Wednesday is going to be pretty low. And does anybody really care who wins between Houston and Philadelphia?
No.
I mean, everybody knows they're like, why did those two teams make it? And it's not that they're the better teams in that tournament. Is they're probably the only ones that took it semi-serious, right?
Yeah, you're right.
I hope they can do something with that, because that's the oldest tournament. It's like what it was.
I really enjoy it. Yeah, I really enjoy the whole atmosphere by letting amateur teams, you know, make a run at it. We just need to give it a cool name instead of the Lamar Hunt Open Cup. We need to call it, like, get a good sponsor. You know how they do in England, and call it the Sunday League Finest Open Cup.
We'll sponsor it, man. We won't give you guys any money, but we'll sponsor it. But yeah, because
three shout outs on here.
That's so cool. There's no other sport does that, where you can have amateurs play professionals. That is so cool. And every time you talk to somebody that doesn't know about soccer and they you tell them about that, they're like, what, they do that? That's pretty cool. Like, they're all interested. All you're gonna do is blow it up, because nobody's gonna go. Last time I was trying to find the game on US Soccer's website, I had to click on like five different links to try to get to the streaming. So that part that needs to change. I mean, come on now. It's 2018. You partner up with ESPN Plus like you do with MLS and show the freaking games on there.
Yeah, they might have to do that for this next edition of it. Well, yeah. David, I think that's enough MLS wrap-up, soccer wrap-up.
Oh, yeah, one more. Let me – one more thing. Tata Martino, man. Why? Why does it have to come to this, man?
Is he leaving for sure, David?
I've seen a lot of different reports and stuff that are saying he's leaning to leaving. I am hoping that he's just doing all this stuff just to raise his price tag. Because right now, the ownership in Atlanta is really good. Everybody could tell, because we're spending money left and right that's never been done by an MLS team. Arthur Blank, who's also the owner of the Falcons, he doesn't mind throwing money at Tata Martino. So if he leaves, it's not because of the money. It's going to be because he really does want a challenge. But I just don't know if he really wants to be a coach of Argentina and maybe only have a job for a year. And even
if he wins the MLS Cup, I say he leaves. If he does not,
he said his deadline is October 1st, and he said he was going to make a decision before that.
Okay.
So the thing is, if he leaves, you know, knock on wood, if he leaves and Atlanta doesn't win the MLS Cup, I feel like he didn't really become successful here. So to him, I'm like, did you really compete a challenge if you didn't win the MLS Cup?
Yeah.
So I'm really hoping he's staying, because not only, you know, is he a really good coach, but he's got that pipeline to South America where he keeps plucking these really good South American players. And I would just hate to see
if he leaves. That's a huge hole to fill, and I just hope Atlanta would be able to bring somebody in that could work that same style and not downgrade, and then you guys lose your fans.
That's the thing that scares me, that the way we play is, if, like, let's say he brings in somebody, like, let's say they get an Arsene Wenger or a big European coach that doesn't play this type of soccer, but we have the players that play that Tata Martino's type of soccer. That's what scares me. And it's just like, you know, I don't, it's just, He's only been here 2 years. I feel like, obviously, if he could stay here for a long time if he wanted to and have a nice, long, lucrative career.
Oh, definitely.
And then definitely. Yeah, I guess that's my two cents.
Kind of building on that as well. You know, another vacancy up in the air. Obviously, Galaxy head coach without one. Did you see who was in attendance of the last game, sitting with Chris Klein, Galaxy's president?
Oh, was it Tom Cruise and David Beckham?
Yeah, right. Jurgen Klinsmann.
Oh, slap! No way. So
Jurgen Klinsmann was sitting next to the side. You know, in the little booth, a nice little area with Chris Klein watching the game. And rumor has it, it's not the first time they've kind of mingled, so there's a connection. Could Jurgen Klinsmann be on his way to Galaxy?
You know what? I don't hate that, because he could do the same thing he did with the U.S. We're trying to get these German players, but I think that would actually work for the Galaxy, but not for the U.S. national team.
Yeah, you're right. So kind of do what Tata does with the South Americans, just more Germans.
Yeah. The thing, though, is like I think you definitely have to build that system. I think what Galaxy tries to do is they try to play too much. So have like they'll sprinkle some European players with some like South American or Mexican style players that are very, you know, a lot of it's built on individual efforts and stuff. And then you try to get both these systems to work. And I don't think it works that way. And that's why you see all these holes at the back. So I think you have to go one way or the other. Either you play this European system, or you go the other way where you do Atlanta United, where it's just like high octane, always attacking soccer, you know?
Yeah.
And I think Jurgen is good with building a system.
The thing is, will he have the respect from players that technically, I know he himself didn't fail in the World Cup qualifying. But, I mean, he kind of put the U.S. in that position. So, will he have the respect of the players? I think Sebastian Lletget's players like that might hold some. Like, this guy didn't do too well with the national team. But I think Zlatan would respect that type of coach in the sense that, you know, he played for Germany. He managed Germany and all that.
That's what I was about to say, that I don't think it's going to matter that much, because most everybody on the Galaxy team aren't U.S. nationals, or at least not the big players, right? You talk about Dos Santos brothers. You talk about Zlatan, Alessandrini, Ashley Cole, who sucks. I keep hating on Ashley Cole.
Yeah, he does.
But all these players have nothing to do with the national team, so I really think they don't care. It's only going to be like like you said, Lletget. But even Lletget wasn't a big factor there. So I don't think it'll really be a problem. I think it'll probably they'll see, just because you're European and has coached Germany and Bayern Munich, these big clubs, I think he already gets their respect.
Yeah, you're right. And does Galaxy need to bring someone with that kind of name where Zlatan will kind of respect the coach more?
Yeah, I think so. I think Zlatan would way more respect Jurgen than Siggy Schmidt, who he probably never heard of, right?
And then he looked at Siggy Schmidt, and I'm not trying to be mean here, but kind of you can't let yourself go that much as a coach, you know, when you're trying to be a soccer coach.
Are you calling him a fat ass?
I didn't say those words specifically.
Hey, there's a funny meme on there where it shows the coaches in Europe, and they're all like nice, wearing suits, really skinny, and then they show the NFL coaches, and they're all like super fat, overweight. But it's just because Americans are fat as hell.
Hey, we're going a little bit off topic.
Hey, we're Americans, just by the way, we're making fun of ourselves.
Yeah,
these Mexicans are making fun of Americans. All right,
David. Go ahead and give the special topic of the week.
All right, so we're going to try to throw in a little bit more topics, so we're just not always reviewing, you know, soccer results, and keep it a little bit interesting. So something I want to talk to our fans and to you, Obi, about is every year goes crazy for both NFL and college football. I mean, when you come in over the weekend, all everybody's ever talking about is the results from the football games. And, I mean, I live in the South, so maybe it's a little bit more prevalent here than where you are on the West Coast. But still, the ratings for football, the celebrity that comes with it. And my question is, can soccer ever be anywhere remotely close to that level? And if so, would it be anytime soon? What steps would you think would need the MLS would need to take to get to that level?
So when we're saying soccer here, would it be national team level MLS or like any type of soccer, like La Liga, EPL?
No, specifically to the U.S. national team and MLS.
Okay. Well, to answer your question about how hyped it is here, yes, everyone watches NFL. Everybody watches college football. College football, not as much as here as they do on the East Coast.
Yeah, because you guys suck.
In the South, don't hate, dude. Anyways, there's just nothing to do on the East Coast, so they got to watch football. Anyways, but, dude, it comes down to the soccer culture. You know, NFL has been here for a couple generations now, and basketball has as well, you know, and baseball as well. You know, America's pastime is what baseball is called. But soccer is still relatively new. I know it's been here. You know, the World Cup was hosted here. But it's still relatively new. I know now statistics shows that I believe in youth sports, soccer is the most highest played sport among the youth, you know, community. Mm-hmm. But most of them will stop playing soccer, or their parents themselves never played the game, don't know anything about it. They just kind of put their kid in because, oh, look, it's cute. Let's watch them play soccer. But I think it comes down to the culture. You know, it's kind of back in England, if you look at it, or Barcelona, think about those teams in La Liga, like Athletic Bilbao. If you ask anybody here, who is a Athletic Bilbao fan? Does anybody say Atletico Bilbao? Yeah, I love watching them. You get me? But mm-hmm. back there, how many fans that they have that are dedicated to their sport? And they haven't. You can't say, oh, well, they won La Liga in the last 10 years. No, they haven't done much. Yeah, they've stayed in the first division. But why is it that there's constantly new fans, young fans, old fans at those games? And it's because of it's a tradition that was passed down, just like any other tradition. That's what sports become. And I don't think it's been long enough here where generations and generations have been passing it down in that sense, you know, the passion for the game. So I think now you can say it's probably gone through two generations, like maybe three, but the, you know, our grandparents were kind of, you know, say, you know, this generation's grandparents is still relatively new unless they came from like a Hispanic country or England or Ireland or, you know, one of those soccer culture countries. But like for the Americans that are barely seeing it, most of them, their parents are now starting to love the game because their kids are playing it. So this new generation, my generation, the new generation that's coming right now, is we're going to pass that passion along to our kids, and then they're going to instill it in their kids, and so on and so on and so on. And I say yes. So it's not going to happen in our generation. Probably won't happen in our kids' generation, but maybe by the third or fourth, yeah, soccer will be sensational here in America.
Dang, you could have shortened that up for me.
Nah, dude, we got to make it seem like we know what we're talking about.
I'll just mess with you. Nah, I'll give you that part, because I believe that to a certain extent. But let's look at this from a different direction.
No, we can't disagree, dude. I'm just kidding. Yeah. Go ahead.
Yeah, this is Fox News, man. We always agree. but, okay, so in America, any random EPL America. Game. America, fuck yeah. Any random EPL game on the weekend will net you 500, 600,000 viewers a game. A random Liga MX game will get you around the same. A random La Liga game, probably a little lower, gets you around 400,000. Those all three are pretty different fan bases. There might be some overlap, but for the most part, they're all pretty different. You put that together, that's almost 1.5 million viewership per soccer game, which MLS would kill for. An average MLS game probably averages around 200,000 to 300,000 people a game, okay? So there's obviously a big issue there because a lot of people have said that the fans are already here. Obviously, it's not as big as the NFL, but there's a big fan base that loves soccer. The problem is they don't love MLS.
That's why I'm telling you it kind of comes down to the generation thing for the MLS in that sense. Because, yeah, there are a lot of fans here. But they even nowadays, that's why I'm saying it's going to take a lot of generation. Because if you speak to people our age, well, you're old as hell, but my age, when you ask them, you know, did you watch the Galaxy game? Why would I watch that? But if I tell them, hey, did you watch Champions League? Oh, heck yeah, I recorded it or I watched it on my phone. So, yes, there are fans here. It's just whether they're willing to just, let's face it, take their standards a notch down and support the league here. Because I always tell them, if you want soccer to be like everybody else and be to that level, you have to support it.
But I want to know, besides you saying the generation, what needs to happen between soccer lovers and MLS or the U.S. Soccer Federation? What can they do to make, A, people that already love soccer and watch soccer love MLS, and then the people that don't love soccer to start loving MLS?
So, one, the people that don't love soccer just need to go to a game. And believe me, I've heard many countless stories that they're like, oh, I never really liked soccer until I went to a game. And then I was just like, and they weren't even sitting with the supporters group. Just the fact that they saw how soccer is an actual person, how the, you know, every aspect of the beautiful game. So I say, one, they just need to give it a chance if they've never actually watched soccer.
I second that because obviously Atlanta United being new in the South, nobody thought it was going to succeed. And I will kill you not. And, you know, if you come out here and you get a chance to go to a game, you come out to these games, you'll see somebody tailgating that's got a Georgia Bulldogs decal and flags, but they come out wearing an Atlanta United shirt. And you would never thought that these country boys that love the Georgia Bulldogs or the Braves, that they would be coming out to Atlanta United game. But they love it, and they keep coming out week in and week out. So I think that it is what it – that's all it needs to happen is that open your mind – come to a game, and I definitely will get behind you on that.
Yeah, and the second thing about how do you change these soccer fans into Deport MLS them. Fans or American fans?
Deport them.
One, the MLS standard has to increase, you know, the quality of soccer. That being said, people don't understand how young the league is. You know, so compared to how young the league is compared to the rest of the world, it is a great, great standard. I mean, we've already surpassed so many countries, if you think about it, you know. So that, but obviously they want better quality. So I believe if David Beckham, you know, all the rumors that are flying around Inter Milan, if he's able to sign like Antoine Griezmann, I think that is an absolute game changer for the MLS because now he calls, you know, he's still in his prime. He's going to call his buddies and be like, dude, the MLS isn't that bad. You guys should come take a look. So instead of now getting these players, you know, 37, like Zlatan Ibrahimovic, you're going to be getting these players Vela's age, but obviously at a bigger stage because Vela came at a decent age. He didn't come like right in his prime, but at a decent age. But obviously Vela is only big in the Mexican community, you know, rather than Antoine Griezmann is a world superstar. So think about the effect that Zlatan has had. Every stadium that Galaxy has gone to ever since selling Zlatan has been sold out. Sold out. Think about if you bring Antoine Griezmann. Same thing. It's going to be sold out. Viewership's going to be more because now if he's playing Inter Milan, even if they're playing Colorado Rapids, I'm like, dude, hey, Antoine Griezmann's playing. I'm going to watch it. You get me? So. Yeah. One, that increase of quality, just like Atlanta United is doing, bringing some young South Americans in, these flashy players that will get the job done. Two, I think we need to win the CONCACAF Champions League a few times, like in a row, you know, or maybe 3 out of 5 or something like that, where now these Liga MX people, although they'll be hating, they're kind of like, you know what, let's see what they have to offer. Obviously, they're beating us in the Champions League. The league can't be that crap, and they might start attending some games or watching some games. So I and three U.S. soccer make a not win the World Cup, but do a good performance.
Yeah, be competitive.
Make the semifinals.
Yeah, and just to go on that, I do agree that MLS needs to improve to their quality, and I also think that where that comes from to improving that quality is that MLS has to, and maybe David Beckham might be the one that actually does away with his own rule that was created for him of the DP / David Beckham rule, because MLS needs to increase their salary cap and stop messing around with these DPs, TAM, GAM, Generation Adidas, and just increase the cap. And I know they're worried about, you know, teams getting left in the getting left out that can't afford or they don't have the money. But, you know, you got to let those teams fail, and they'll get replaced by teams that actually care about spending money and putting a quality product on the field.
Yeah, I completely agree. Those DP rules were perfect in the sense that, you know, when they first created it, you know, trying to make sure they didn't make an error that the NASL went through twice.
Right. Yeah, it's pretty crazy.
They didn't learn from their own mistake. Anyways, and I think it was fantastic rule, you know, to make sure that those teams stuck around. But now in the sense that we're up to, what, 24 teams?
Yeah.
And Inter Milan's coming in. Nashville is coming in. Missing a third team, but there's a third
Inter
team.
Inter Miami, not Inter Milan. You wish Inter Milan was coming in.
Did I say Inter Milan every time?
Yeah.
Miami. Sorry. Apologize about that. I know Inter Milan isn't coming in. Sorry, listeners.
They're like, oh, shit. Now MLS is really going to get interesting.
Inter Miami. Sorry about that. I said Inter Milan every time. Sorry. Inter Miami. There's a third team that's coming in, isn't there?
Did you say Cincinnati?
There we go, FC Cincinnati.
Yeah.
So and it's just going to keep expanding because how big the country is, you know, kind of needs a lot more teams. But just like you said, now these small teams that fall by the wayside, I mean, it's fine. Let them go out. They'll be replaced. And then it'll start to bring along the whole promotion relegation phase.
Yeah, I agree. But, you know, as long as MLS has these rules in place, I mean, I just don't see Beckham coming in with their team that have all this money and they're handicapped because of the salary cap. And MLS will never improve its quality because you got to spend money if you want a good product on the field. That's why MLS...
got to have always, money to make money.
Yep, and that's why MLS clubs always get beaten in Champions League because Liga and Mekis have a lot of money and they don't have to worry about these stupid salary caps.
I agree. Yeah, dude, I mean, we need to get rid of those salary caps. And, yeah, to make your question long answer short, yes, it'll happen, but just down the road.
Yeah, I think it'll happen too, but I think until it rivals the NFL, it's going to be a long time. I don't think we'll see it in our lifetime. You know,
oh, definitely not in our lifetime.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, you know, when the U.S. was playing, and I think when they played Portugal, I think they got something like 23 million people watching it in the States. So that's nothing to balk about. Obviously, the World Cup is one of those just huge tournaments that even people that don't care about soccer tune in. So if the U.S. can build on that, and you know, MLS improves, which means the national team improves, the national team becomes more prevalent and can beat big teams consistently. I think that all will coming together and just growing the sport in the U.S. of A.
Definitely. Well, I hope you guys like that little bit of a different topic rather than just peer review. We're going to kind of do that more often now. So if you guys want a specific topic, you know, mention us on Facebook, mention us on Twitter, shoot us an email, sunday.leagues.finest@gmail.com. Let us know what you guys think. Let us know what you want to hear. We're also, I know we always post a link on Anchored, but we're also available Spotify, Apple Podcasts. If you guys want to give us a, you know, 5-star rating or 3-star rating, whatever you guys want to think.
3-star. If you give us 3-star, I'm going to find you and whoop your ass.
Exactly. I just want honesty. But before you give us 3 stars, give us 5 stars and then send us a message so we know what to improve.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, yeah, I
anything
hope you guys
else,
enjoyed
David?
The show. No, yeah, we'll be sending out the podcast. I may put up a poll up there to see, and I'll ask if you guys think that soccer will ever be as big as the NFL and see what you guys think.
Definitely. Well, thank you guys for tuning in this week. Hope you enjoy the show and looking forward to speaking with you next week.
Peace, y'all.
Peace.